How's the Sunshine State, Denny? Morning to you.
It's locked down, guys. Yeah, we're...
Join the queue.
We're in a little one-bedder apartment and looking outside and going out for the occasional shopping trip, which is now a very exciting thing to do. Going to the shopping centre and maybe grabbing a coffee if you're lucky, but they're taking it very seriously up here. I mean,
have you got your family, Denny, up there with you?
No, mate, I haven't seen my family now for 5 or 6 weeks, and I won't see them... Yeah,
that's
I won't
heavy.
See them probably for 3 months or so, I'd say. So it's not great. That's provided the competition stays in Queensland, obviously.
Yeah.
But no, that's tough, especially I've got a little bub, which is, you worry about them remembering you, after you've been away for a while. So
that's
it's not great. But they are taking it seriously. And, people are getting pulled up if they're not wearing masks, even going for a walk when people are doing their exercise. So, unless you're doing heavy exercise, you have to wear a mask up here. So the masks everywhere, they want this to go away. I'm on the Gold Coast, and the mayor of the Gold Coast has been campaigning to have the Gold Coast cleared as an area that has to be in lockdown. I don't know if he's going to have any luck with that. But it's an interesting time. And just quickly on your conversation about school teachers, Loz, one of my teachers, I don't know if you played with him or you mixed with him when you're at the Raiders. The great Mickey Aldous was my rugby coach at Sydney High. Champion bloke.
Yes.
Good footballer. He was a fullback at the Raiders.
He was a fullback. He was a recruitment officer there for a long period of time as well. And I think he still might be involved in the game somewhere. But my first year at the club, Mick was still there.
Yeah.
Fullback centre. He was fit. I know that, Mick.
Well, he would have been probably commuting or doing some work for Sydney High then as well. So, back in the day, mate.
Isn't it funny, Denny? We've got that many text messages this morning on players that were teachers back in the day.
Sounds like it was a second job. Footy first, you had to be a school teacher.
Yeah.
All these messages we got.
Yeah, and Mickey Aldous, great bloke. And I used to see him around after school as well. Lovely fella.
Yeah, no, he's a champion. Just on... Queensland then, Denny, with this lockdown going for another week, and hopefully they'll come out of it on Sunday. And I know that things change pretty quickly in this environment, but what are you hearing in regards to if they have to take games away from Queensland? What are you hearing in regards to grand finals, semi-finals being played? Is the number one option to stay in Queensland, obviously, and play the grand final there? Because having said that, I've been reading some articles about opening it up and Melbourne are interested in hosting a grand final.
Laurie, it's a really complex situation that the game's facing. I'll take you back a couple of steps first. And the way that the Queensland government blindsided the NRL on Saturday was disgraceful. The NRL is investing a lot of money in Queensland, millions and millions of dollars through hotels and, catering and all sorts of things. And then to find out at a media conference without a second of warning that they were shutting down professional sport, I can't believe they haven't caught more heat than they have. It was shocking. I mean, I know that they've got a pandemic on their hands and they've got things that are far greater, but as a business that's pouring money into your state, you've got to wonder why they did that. Now, it took great work, as we know, from Peter Vallandis and Andrew Abdo to get the game back up and running. And look, I wonder whether, I'm referencing that because I wonder whether that decision will have a lingering effect or leave a bad taste in the mouth of the NRL, given they now are not playing in front of crowds. The main or a big reason for coming up to Queensland, obviously, was to avoid COVID. Well, COVID's here now. And the other reason was to get crowds happening, because that's revenue for the game. The NRL will want to play their final series and definitely, most definitely, their grand final in front of a crowd. So unless the situation gets under control, which everybody's hoping it does in Queensland, they'll have to look at other options. And at this stage, I mean, there's no sure bet, is there, wherever you look. You can't forecast a week ahead, let alone a month. Mm.
London, they're playing on.
Yeah, well, let's go to London. can you ask Warnie how that's going?
Well, Warnie's doing real well.
Yeah, so, I mean,
stuck in his room.
You just don't know, do you? I mean,
yeah.
They are the revenue loss. Look, it's costing the NRL so much money. to be here, and it's going to cost them even, like, they would have banked on some crowd money coming back. And they would have, I mean, like, losing the Penrith game in Melbourne, that was apparently selling really well. Games up in Rocky, you know, they would have made making money out of that. So, yeah, I think that, look, when you're looking at it, it's bottom line that's going to help dictate what happens next. Obviously, the health of where they're going and the healthiness of the area. But, you know, if Queensland stays in lockdown, they may have to look at moving. We know the games can be played, but why can't we just move back to New South Wales and lock down in New South Wales hotel or hub?
Denny, how extreme is the cost in packing the NRL? Like, you talk about, okay, let's say New South Wales stays in lockdown, so does Queensland, Melbourne's got its... Say they've got to go to Perth or Adelaide, surely that's got to cost a fortune to actually take the competition there, take the players, take the staff, take the partners. Like, we talk about TV rights, I get that, but all this moving around must be costing them an absolute mozza.
It does cost a mozza, but I think the main cost is housing them and keeping them there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, yeah, as you know, mate, private jets aren't cheap.
You'll
go with it. So, I mean, like, it does cost for these blokes on a jet. But I guess if they're going to move, they're going to have to just move. I mean, the cheapest option would be, if things got really bad, maybe just ship them all over to northern New South Wales or somewhere like that. I don't know if that's even an option. But, you know, you put them on a bus. But I think that they're going to have to get some of their costs back somewhere.
Yeah.
But obviously, the big thing is keeping the game going so they get the money from the TV deals. Because without that, as Peter Volandi said last year, the game's, you know, in big, big trouble if that money's not coming in.
How are the players handling things, Denny?
Look, we've seen a few things here and there, but the players get a lot of criticism and, you know, you dare to stick up for the wags who have been locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks with two or three kids running around without going outside. Oof. And you get shot down. You get, everyone's doing it tough. But they are. Everybody is. It's not a competition. It's not everybody is doing it tough at this time. And I get that people think they're privileged, but still, it's everybody's individual situation. And in everybody's situation, they've got hardships. And I feel for the players because they've done this for a long time now, and there are concerns within clubland about how long they can keep doing this for, about, you know, their mental health, and what impact it's going to have on them long term. You know, they're locked down in a big way. I mean, and they've been doing it for, I mean, we've been doing it for a while now, but they've been doing it for longer, and they've been living in bubbles for longer, and they've been restricted in their movements for longer. So it's not a simple situation, and I'm not crying for the players, but I do think that their mental health needs to be taken into strong consideration in a lot of instances.
We see where they have limited staff going to games and things like that over the weekend. What's the setup with the journos, mate? Are you still allowed to attend a game? Do you have press conferences after the game? Can you get access to the players, or does it all have to be done online? How does it operate?
Laurie, as of... we were supposed to be able to start going back to face-to-face dealings with players this week in Queensland. That's the main reason why, like myself, Emma Lawrence, and other journos came up to Queensland was so we could get face-to-face access and do proper stories. And we're back to doing Zooms. You can go to a game, but I don't think on the weekend there was any point because you couldn't get access to the players in any way. And the NRL are really... Well, they were hoping that the media could get closer access to players. But for instance, yesterday, on a daily basis, for people who don't know, there's usually two or three clubs at least who will give you access to players even by Zoom. Yesterday, not one Sydney club was available. And this is, you know, we're in the business of trying to promote the game.
Yeah.
We tell good and bad stories, but we're still talking about the game. But there wasn't one club available, which is a problem,
yeah.
Especially with the Olympics getting so much coverage. So today they're back to normal. You can speak to a bunch of clubs, but we've got to keep, I mean, from a media perspective, you've got to keep telling stories and you've got to keep giving people something to look at, criticise you for. It gives people something to do, I think, at this time.
100%. Now, what did you make of Monday Night Football returning last night?
I'm just glad to see football. I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, I wish it was on every night at the moment. I don't know what we're going to do when the Olympics stop because, you know, if everybody's shut down, oh, God, what are we going to do? But, I mean,
Is that as silly as it sounds, though, Denny, when you say you'd like to see it every night? Why can't that happen?
Well, I guess it's all to do with the TV deals. And also, I guess it's to do with the draw. The draw is such a complex thing and five-day turnarounds and, you know, giving teams enough time to rest. So, yeah, look, I think from memory, the AFL were doing it last year.
Yeah.
You'd know better than I would, but I think they were playing most nights of the week at some point. Mm. So I guess that, you know, that's not – if things got bad, it's not – you know, it's a possibility. But as for last night, obviously, I think the Bulldogs showed that unfortunately, their situation's dire. They're the worst team in the comp. They've got worse this year, unfortunately, compared to when, you know, they had Dean Pay there and they've gone backwards. And unfortunately, they're the worst team by a fair distance. And I know they've got recruits coming, but, you know, not all of the recruits they've signed are dead set certainties to improve their club. And Laurie, I heard you talking about how they have to sign a hooker and a halfback. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've got the money to... They're going to have to get rid of blokes somehow. I don't think they've got the money to sign a really big-name hooker or big-name halfback, if there was one on the market, for next year or maybe even the year after. I think they've invested pretty heavily now and they've...
In all those other guys.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah. And other guys who they've paid maybe a lot for in the past. So I don't think we're going to see a sudden influx of a superstar hooker, as much as they wanted a Smith or a, you know, superstar halfback. I don't know if it's that easy for them. I think it would require some real juggling. And on the other hand, Manly, I love watching Manly play. It's just a treat to watch Tommy Turbo do his stuff. I mean, the way he's demolishing teams, I heard you saying again, it's like the Jared Haynes show from 09. And Tommy is such a humble, decent bloke. I can't begin to wrap him as an individual. He is polite. He's well mannered. He seems like a really good human being from everything I know about him. I know he had the turbo race at Stadia, but that gave us a bit of.
He's got to watch your soap in the shower. That's all.
Well, that's it. If that's the worst thing he does in his career,
yeah,
you know, let's celebrate him because we're watching something pretty special at the moment. I think we look for heroes in these times, and I know that sports people shouldn't be role models, and I know all that, but for us to watch him doing what he's doing is a real privilege, I think, and it'll be great to see him take Manly all the way.
Yeah, the way he's playing, Denny, there's no reason why they can't, and it's probably the Storm and then Penrith and Manly on an equal footing, or do you still have Penrith, as second favourites in your mind?
Look, we forget how good Nathan Cleary is. I mean, it's easy to bag Penrith and say, oh, they're gone, but they're missing their main man. And before Cleary got injured, weren't we saying he was the best player in the comp?
I still think Penrith, if they get their full complement of players available, can challenge Melbourne.
I worry about it, though. I mean, you know, Puppy, you know these injuries better than I do in terms of this shoulder injury that he's got. I don't know how easy it is to come back from that and maintain it and be able to cop a heavy, you know, late shot, because that's what he's going to get. Mm. He's going to get these mad back rowers.
They're going to run at him, aren't they?
Oh, and then running at
and
him.
Why
when
wouldn't
he
you?
Kicks it. When he kicks it, he's off balance.
Well, that's the part, like I was going to ask you, Danny, and also Loz, like if you've got individuals in your team, we used to speak about it with Cameron Smith, that have that much of an impact in regards to win versus lose. So we talk Cleary, we talk Tommy T. Surely coming into these finals, teams are just going to say, right, If we, I know gone are the days we're going to take him out, but is it not worth that for these teams that are so heavily focused on one player? Why would someone not look to smoke Cleary or Tommy T? It's a game changer.
Well, you'd hope they wouldn't in terms of an illegal shot. But yeah. In terms of an actual legal hit,
yeah, correct.
On Nathan Cleary's shoulder, I don't like to be callous or rude about it, but I mean that's a target spot. And you're gonna want to test it. And Laurie, you know that. You know when you've carried an injury, teams target it.
Yeah, the only one I'd be worried about if I was Nathan is when you're kicking on the right side of the ruck and you've got guys from marker or that A or B defender coming out and putting pressure on your left side. Like, because when you kick the ball, they get you off balance and you're more susceptible to land on your right side. But if you're kicking from the middle of the field, you'll probably get away with it a little bit more. But the closer you start to get to the sideline, it narrows the gap. So the people coming out and putting pressure on you is not as great a distance to cover. So you'd nearly be thinking, Nathan, you know what? You're not kicking down any short sides from 25 metres from the sideline to the infield because they can get to you and put pressure on you. So that's a kick that you need to take out of your game. Oh, this is what I'm thinking just out of loud now. If it's around midfield, you do what you want. But any time it narrows the corridor between where they can get to you and put pressure on, don't run the risk because as soon as you kick that ball, they're attacking you from the inside and that's when you're going to land on your right side or put your right arm out to protect yourself when you fall and that's when something dangerous can happen. I think you'd be okay defending because Nathan, to me, is not a defender that uses his arms, basically. So he won't be put in that vulnerable situation when you reach with your arm. Where he's more compact and drives with his shoulder, where it's in nice and tight, his shoulder will be more stable doing that rather than having it outstretched and reaching for a tackle. So I think he can get away with it. No doubt there's a bit of a risk there, but I think if he can get back into this team, you're right with what you said before. He's such a great player and he brings the best out in everyone. And talking of Penrith though, mate, if I can quickly ask, kick out. I know is he off contract at the end of next year?
Yes. Yeah,
and there's already people chasing him for 2023. Is he likely to stay at Penrith or move on, do you think?
I think he's going to be one of the big contract stories going forward. Obviously, Brandon Smith's one as well, but Kikau, he's a devastating player, and he's on around 700 for Penrith next year. And I think that it's going to require more than that to keep him there, because I think he's a sort of player who I can see a club who's desperate to make a mark throwing money at because he's one of those devastating game changers when he's on, and he could command money, you'd think 800 plus, and whether Penrith can keep him in their cap, because they've got a lot of good players, it's going to be very interesting to see. Obviously, he'd stay at Penrith for less. And what might be a threat is rugby union, particularly like French rugby or one of those sort of powerhouses over there, because he's got the same manager as Semi Radradra. And we saw that he's now paid gazillions in Europe, and he's just won a gold medal playing rugby. And there's a link there that could see him have a lot of money thrown at him from overseas. So it's going to be fascinating to watch how Penrith manage that because they've done really well in keeping a lot of their stars and a lot of their young guys happy. Obviously, Matt Burton's a big loss, but they've kept a lot of the others together.
Danny, I hope you're out of lockdown very soon, mate.
Like, I hope you guys are.
Well, you're a hot favourite to get out before us. Mate, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on, guys.